Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
I'd like to welcome you to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I'm going to continue preaching in John chapter 3, the Gospel of John chapter 3, concerning the subject of you must be born again. And this is the second message in that. I began it last week in talking about this chapter. But this is where the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to a Pharisee named Nicodemus who came to Christ by night, not believing in Christ, but just seeking information. And he told the Lord, look at verse 2, this Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, which means teacher, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles, the miracles that Christ had done, that thou doest, except God be with him. So I made the point last week that Nicodemus believed that Jesus was sent from God. Now, many of the Pharisees didn't believe that. They thought he was from the devil, a blasphemer. But Nicodemus said, you've got to be sent from God or you couldn't do. But now Nicodemus did not believe in Jesus as the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior, the Lord of glory. He just believed him in a man sent from God, just like any of the prophets or any man who had the word of God. But Jesus answered, verse 3 now. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And I made this point last week too, that what he's talking about here is a spiritual rebirth, the new birth. You must be born again, or you cannot see the kingdom of God. Means you do not have spiritual eyes naturally. We by nature, in our first birth, having fallen in Adam, ruined by the fall, are born spiritually dead. We have physical eyes and we have spiritual ears, but we don't have spiritual eyes to see the glory, the beauty, the value of the things of God, the things that glorify God, the beauty of Christ in the glory of His person and the power of His finished work. And we don't have the desire. You know, man's problem in spiritual death is twofold. Number one is he does not know the right way to God, the right way of forgiveness, the right way of righteousness, the right way of acceptance. He doesn't know it. Spiritually blind, Scripture says, spiritually ignorant, do not know the true and living God. Oh, he has ideas in his head of God, who God is. He thinks God is much like himself. As one old preacher said, he reasons from the ground up instead of from heaven downward through the revelation of God. So he does not know the things of God. So ignorance is part of that spiritual death. And then secondly, he does not desire the things of the Spirit of God. He doesn't want them because he wants salvation, but he wants it his own way, in which he can give himself, at least in part, some glory. And God will not share his glory. Salvation's of the Lord. And so the new birth is a necessity for the salvation of sinners. Now you can think of it like this. When we think about salvation, we can think about it as it applies to us. We can think about it in several ways. I wrote a book on this called What is Salvation? And I divided salvation up into four realms as I see it described in the Word of God. There's the eternal realm of salvation. And that refers to the eternal mind and purpose of God. You can read passages of Scripture like Ephesians chapter 1 on that. Romans chapter 8. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul spoke of a salvation that was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. In Revelation, it speaks of, it makes a distinction between those whose names were not written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world and those whose names were written. The eternal realm speaks of God's sovereign election of a people to save, which He chose them and gave them to Christ, put all of the responsibility of their salvation on Christ, imputed their sins to Christ, which they had not even committed yet. You see, salvation is older than creation. And that's the eternal realm. And I won't go into all that. But get that book. We give it to you free of charge. It's called What is Salvation? The second realm is the legal realm of salvation. And that shows us that in salvation, when God saves a sinner, when God justifies the ungodly, He must do so on a just ground. God is a holy God. God is a just God. God is a righteous God. God must deal in truth. He cannot deal in fiction. He never has any play-like in this thing of salvation. God is a merciful God. But He cannot show mercy at the expense of His justice. He's a gracious God. But He cannot be gracious at the expense of His righteousness. He's a loving God, but He cannot show love without the law and justice being satisfied. He must punish sin. Listen, God must punish sinners to whom sin is imputed, charged. If I stand before God at the judgment, and have one sin charged to my account, then I cannot enter heaven's glory. I must be damned forever. And that's why King David wrote in Psalm 32, when he said, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity." There's some people that God does not charge with sin. How can He do that? It's a legal transaction called imputation. And God imputed the sins of His chosen people to Christ. God was in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, or 19. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And the world there is not everybody without exception. It's His chosen people, chosen in Christ, given to Christ, whose sins were imputed to Christ. In the book of Romans, and in Romans chapter 8, it says, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect?" And that's the legal realm of salvation. And that's why Christ was made under the law, as Galatians chapter 4 tells us. Galatians chapter 4, I believe it's begins in verse 4, that God, in the fullness of the time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, that's His humanity, His deity and His humanity, made under the law. He had a legal responsibility to pay for the sins of His people that were charged to Him. He was made sin. Christ, who knew no sin, made sin for us. And He did it in order to redeem them that were under the law. And that's how it is. If God's going to forgive us, it's got to be on a just ground. If God's going to declare us righteous, He must do so justly. And how does He declare a sinner righteous? By declaring that person righteous by the imputation, the accounting, the reckoning of that sinner, declaring that sinner righteous based upon Christ's righteousness imputed to him. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 4 and verse 6, he described the blessedness of the man to whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works. So that's the legal realm of justification. God is just when He justifies. He's a just God and a Savior. In Psalm 85, it says it this way, mercy and truth are met together, working consistently together. Now, the third realm of salvation is what we're talking about in the new birth. That's the spiritual realm. If God has justified me through the righteousness of Christ, I must be born again. I must be given spiritual life from the dead. I must be raised spiritually from the dead. I must go through, I mentioned this last week from Romans chapter 2. I must be circumcised, not physically, but in heart. Stephen said in heart and ears. I must be given spiritual life from the dead. That's what Christ is talking about. Except a man be born again, he cannot see. He doesn't have spiritual eyes. And if you are born again, that means God has justified you, forgiven you of all your sins by the blood of Christ, and declared you righteous in Christ. You see that? All who God has justified must be born again. They must be given a new heart, the Scripture says. They must be given faith to believe in Christ. Faith is the gift of God. They must be given the gift of repentance. And they must be preserved unto glory. All of that is the product, the result of the grace of God based on the righteousness of Christ. So let me give you a basic biblical doctrine here. A basic biblical precept about the righteousness of Christ. Now, the Bible says in Romans 1:16, Paul writes, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel," that's the good news, "the gospel of Christ, the gospel which preaches forth the glorious person and the finished work of Christ, His blood for my forgiveness, His righteousness for my justification," the same thing. "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." That word power is the Greek word dunamis. We get our word dynamite from it. It's a powerful thing. Now, it's not powerful to everybody without exception. There's some people who hear it and walk away unaffected. You may be hearing what I'm saying today with a physical ear, but it doesn't affect you at all. Doesn't bring you to know and believe in and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your righteousness before God. So it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Everyone who's been born again. Everyone who's been given the gift of faith, to the Jew first and the Greek or the Gentile also. It doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Greek. He's not a Jew. I read this last week in Romans 2:20. He's not a Jew which is one outwardly, but he's one who's one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart. If you've been born again by the Spirit and brought to faith in Christ, you've been given a new heart, a circumcised heart. The filth of the flesh has been cut away in the sense that you've been brought to repentance of dead works. And so the gospel is the power of God and salvation, and to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, the Greek also. Verse 17 of Romans 1 says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." What is the righteousness of God? That's the entire merit of the obedience unto death of the Lord Jesus Christ as the surety, the substitute, and the redeemer of His people, which ensures, having been imputed to them, ensures that they'll be born again by the Spirit, kept by the power of God, and brought to glory. There's not one sinner for whom Christ died who can perish. And if you believe there is, you don't believe in the righteousness of God. You don't believe the gospel. But it says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith," that is from the preaching of the gospel, "to faith," from that faith that is given by which we receive it, "from faith to faith, as it is written, the just," or the justified, "shall live by faith." Now, how do you live by faith? You live by looking to and resting in Christ for all salvation. So here's that precept, that biblical doctrine, this basic thing. The righteousness of God, the righteousness of Christ, imputed to God's people, is the ground of their whole salvation. It's upon that one ground the glorious person and finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God, His righteousness imputed, it's on that one ground that God saves all His people, Jew or Gentile, all over the world, out of every tribe, kindred, tongue, and nation. Any who are saved, they're saved on that one ground. So that ground, that the imputed righteousness of Christ, is the only ground of our justification, our sanctification, our glorification. It's upon that ground. But the imputed righteousness of Christ, which is the glory of His person, the power of His finished work, is also the source and the power of the new birth. For all who have been justified on that ground must be born again. You must have life. There's no way, if you have been justified by God, if you were chosen by God, justified in Christ, redeemed by the blood of Christ, you must be regenerated and converted, born again by the Spirit. Because sin demands death. And if sin is not charged to me, righteousness is. Righteousness demands life. And I quote that all the time in Romans 5:21. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Now the new birth is the justification is the imputation of Christ's righteousness. The new birth, being born again, is the impartation of life, spiritual life, spiritual eyes, spiritual ears, spiritual heart, spiritual knowledge, spiritual desires, faith, repentance, the impartation of spiritual life that springs from Christ's righteousness imputed. In fact, some of the old writers used to say that the life that God gives in the new birth is the resurrection life of Christ. Christ, He died on the cross, He was buried, He arose again from the dead as the first fruits of them that slept. And so all who are justified, for whom Christ died, shall be born again. And except a man be born again, John 3:3 again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now he can see a lot of things, but he cannot see that which would bring him to faith in Christ and repentance of dead works. He's going to stop short. We have to be given eyes to see. Well, look at verse 4 in John 3. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now, I believe, you know, Nicodemus was no dummy. And I think that he was just using hyperbole here, exaggeration. You know, we ain't born again. You know, I was born once and I'm born. And, you know, the Jews, as I said last week, they boasted in their physical heritage, their pedigree, we're of Abraham's seed, their physical circumcision, their law keeping. Well, I was already born, you know, in John chapter 8, when Christ spoke of liberty and freedom, the truth shall make you free. The Jews retorted to him, they said, well, we're born of Abraham and we were never in bondage to any man. We're born free. No, my friend, having fallen in Adam, being ruined by the fall, we're born in bondage to death and to sin. We're born dead. The dead man can't do anything spiritually. He can do things physically, philosophically, religiously, even morally, in the eyes of men. But he can't do anything spiritually. He can't not believe. You know, you cannot believe in the Lord unless you're born again. You know, most people today, you know what here's what they believe. They believe that God's trying to save everybody. He sent Christ to die for everybody. And He's made this available. And if you'll just cooperate and make the right decision and choose Him, you'll be born again. You'll be saved. That is not biblical. That is not biblical. Because except you're born again, you can't even see who to believe or what to believe. Let me show you that. Look back at John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, it's speaking of Christ coming into the world. He's called the Word here, the Logos. And it says in verse 10 of John chapter 1, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. You know, people get so confused and so uptight over this word world in the Bible. And I've had people tell me, well, the word world means everybody in the whole world, everybody without exception. No, it doesn't. It does not mean everybody without exception. You would be hard put to find any passage, especially in the New Testament, where the word world did mean everybody without exception. And most people will quote John 3:16, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's not the whole world. That's not every individual without exception. That's God's people, God's chosen people who live all over this world. And this world will be saved. Not everybody without exception, through that chosen remnant. That's what the Bible teaches. But I can show you passages over in the book of 1 John, for example. There's a verse that says this. This is verse 19 of 1 John 5. Listen to this. We know that we are of God. Now, who's he talking about? We are of God. Talking about believers. Sinners saved by grace. And the whole world lieth in wickedness, or literally in the wicked one. Now, the whole world there doesn't mean everybody without exception, because he just said, we are of God. He's talking about the unbelieving world there. So when over here in John 1, verse 10, Christ was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. Is that talking about everybody without exception? Well, if it is, it's talking about everybody by nature. But in the Old Testament, there were some who knew him and believed in him. He's talked about Abraham. He said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and he was glad. Abraham believed God. Abraham looked to Christ. Abel, he knew Christ is the promised Messiah, the future Messiah, the Lamb slain. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He was a believer. You see? But when Christ came into the world, he says, the world knew him not. Verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Now, most commentators think that's talking about the Jewish nation. He came to his own nation, and his own received him not. They didn't receive him. Look at verse 12. But as many as received him. What is it to receive Christ? Well, it's to believe in Christ. It's to follow him. It's to rest in him. You see, that's what that means. Christ is my salvation. Christ is my wisdom, my righteousness, my sanctification, my redemption, my Sabbath, my high priest, my redeemer, my Lord and King. I mean, we could go on and on. I believe in Him and I believe Him. So, as many as received Him, it says, to them gave he power. Now that word power there doesn't mean ability. It means the right. To as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the privilege, to become or to be called the sons of God. Am I a son of God? Are you a child of God? Well, the only right and privilege that you have to say that and claim that is if you've received him. Now, he came into his own, and his own received him not. You say, but I've received him. Why? Was it because I'm better than those who received him not? I made the right decision and they made the wrong decision? No. Now, look at it again. Verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, his name means that which identifies and distinguishes him from all counterfeits. And he says in verse 13, now look at it. Who made the difference between those who received him and those who didn't receive him? Verse 13, those who received him and believed on his name, which were born, not of blood. That which is born of flesh is flesh. The new birth is not, does not come through the spiritual birth. Regeneration and conversion doesn't come through the physical birth. Not of blood, not of pedigree. Oh, we're born, we're of Abraham. We're of Abraham's seed. Doesn't matter. That means nothing. Nor of the will of the flesh. Now that means the works of the flesh. It wasn't by your works. And look at verse 13. Nor of the will of man. It wasn't your will. You didn't will yourself into the kingdom of God. If you received him, you were born but of God. You see that? Born of God. God did it. God was the initiator. God was the first cause. And somebody says, well, now you can turn it down. No, you can't. Because if you're born again by the Spirit, you're given, and I'm going to show this in some future messages here. If you're born of the Spirit, you're given a new heart, you're given a new mind, a new knowledge, and the Holy Spirit has convicted you, convinced you of the truth, so that you cannot deny it, you cannot ignore it, and you cannot leave it. If you've been born again by the Spirit, you cannot deny the truth as it is in Christ, the gospel, wherein His righteousness is revealed. You cannot ignore it. You can't get away from it. You may try, but you can't. And you cannot leave it. And I'm going to show you that later on. But here he says, when Nicodemus says, how can, verse 4, how can he enter in the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Verse 5, Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of spirit. And I'll deal with that next time in verse 5 there. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.